Genesis chapter 11, reading from verse 31. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I shall show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land into the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moriah, and the Canaanites was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there built he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. The Lord will bless what we've listened to in this public reading of His Word as we read together. The American Armed Forces have numerous slogans that are used to allure the young recruit. You remember how the Marines often have that slogan that the Marines are looking for a few good men. And then they also have another that says, Marines always faithful. The Navy has a slogan showing on the poster a ship cutting through the waters. It says, Join the Navy and see the world. And of course, we all know what the Army says, Join the Army and be all you can be. But there's another one that's attractive to me, and that's the Air Force. The Air Force has a young pilot, and he sits in the cockpit of a F-16 fighter jet. And just before he pulls that lid over the top, there's a little slogan up there, and he says, This desk reaches Mach 2. And then underneath, it says, But you can handle it. You can handle it. You know, I believe that these posters and these slogans are all apt to approach the human intellect and the desire of every heart, and that is to be in control. You can handle it. In control of the circumstances. In control, having the power to manipulate things so they go your way. We all want that. And we all covet it. But we've all experienced that there are times when, as that Mach or as that F-16 jet fighter, if that control goes out of, the control panel goes off, that jet goes completely out of control. And that fighter pilot has no control over the destiny of his aircraft. And so it is at times with our experiences. It seems like the control panel goes blank. And we feel that sensation of spiraling downward. And everything around us is out of control. Does God not use such circumstances and such events to bring us up, to make us realize He is in control? You see, when we feel that we're in control, it seems so easy to put God's standards and our responsibilities before Him, as it were, at a distance. And we can manipulate and we can control. But when we feel that it's all out of our hands, we can only cast ourselves upon the grace of a God who knows all and who loves with an infinite love. Why do I say all this? I believe that maybe this is somewhat was the experience of this man, Abram. He lived in Ur of the Chaldees, and for some 70-odd years he felt that he was in control. Life was what it was supposed to be. He had his wife, he had his mother, his father, his brothers, his sisters, he had his nice plot of land, he had all things going for him. He was in control. But there in the land of Ur, that man, Abram, all of a sudden was awakened one day to a stark reality that there was someone greater than I. Someone else was in control, and that was God. And I would like to break up the life of Abraham in the sense that I'm going to use it today in four different sections. What Abraham discovered. And I would say that that was characterized by his salvation. Abraham's decision. And we see that characterized by his separation. Abraham's discouragement. And that was characterized by his slothfulness. Abraham's devotion. And that was characterized by his service. Let's take a closer look at Abram. The Word of God tells us three times that he is called a friend of God. I like that. Because from the same gospel from which our brethren have been reading, the Lord Jesus Christ gathers his children, his disciples around him, and he says, I have called you my friends. And he says, I have chosen you that you might be my friends. And oh, what a dear relationship that we have with the God of heaven and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the relationship that Abram had. Oh, he never became a lawgiver like Moses. He never was a general like Joshua. He wasn't a king like David. He wasn't a prophet like Ezekiel or Isaiah or Jeremiah, one of those kind. No, no. And nor will you and I be that way. But one thing we all can be, as Abraham was, be characterized as people that are friends of God. A friend of God. But does that mean a person is perfect when they're a friend of God? Does that mean that everything is just the way you want it to be? No. I believe as you look in the life of Abraham, you'll find a man who always wanted to obey. But there were struggles within, and there were times when in disbelief he disobeyed. He was a man that always wanted to know what it was to trust God, and he wanted that faith in God to be enlarged and grow. There were days when he withdrew in doubt and disbelief. He was also a man that wanted to be courageous and step boldly out in faith. But then there were days when Abram knew what it was to draw back in fear. So we can see that Abraham is much like ourselves, no? We see a lot of similarities here in this man. I believe that as we look at him in a closer light, we'll be able to get some encouragement and some insights from his life. First of all, speaking about his discovery. As I said, he lived in Ur of the Chaldees. But the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 4 that Abraham was an idolater. There in that lone country, Abraham knew what it was to go into the shrines and in the temples and to bow before an idol and to worship an idol and to pray to an idol. And one of the main idols that existed there in the days of Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees was the idol named Sin. And Sin was called the moon god. And day after day or night after night, they would worship that moon god in the darkness and in the blackness of idolatry. But in the midst of that darkness, a wonderful thing took place in the life and in experience of Abraham. And the Lord of glory appeared unto him. The Lord that was full of glory and beauty beyond compare. And I don't know how it took place, but I can see there in the midst of the dark soul of Abraham, shining forth the wondrous, glorious light of God of heaven. And once he got a vision of the Lord of glory and his soul was enraptured by it, there was nothing that could turn him away. And we find that Abraham discovered that he was nothing more than a sinner in idolatry. But that discovery led to his salvation. I wonder today as I speak to an audience like this, is there one here that knows not my Lord? Is there one here who still walks after the pleasures of this world and you're contented with the sins that will lead you astray and eventually lead you down to hell? Ah, my friend, it would be our prayer today that you would have the same discovery that Abram had and that you would realize that you're a sinner far, far away from God and that you need a Savior. And that in faith that you'll reach out and touch the one who died at the cross. And that you'll see that he took the sinner's place. That you might find rest and peace in that finished work. So Abraham had a great discovery. But that discovery led to a great decision. And you'll notice that it says here that the Lord had called Abraham and he spoke unto him and he told him to get out of his country and from his kindred and from his father's house. Now that was quite a challenge for Abraham to separate himself from such things because Abraham had the same human nature that you and I have. And he had to struggle with the same things that you and I struggle with. He enjoyed being at home. He enjoyed the plot of land that he had. He enjoyed the abundance that he lived under. They tell us that Ur of the Chaldees was on the near the Persian Gulf. It was a port town. And up and down its waterways, there was much trade going on. Very, very prosperous. They tell us that Ur of the Chaldees was noted for its abundance of crops. It was noted for the corn crop. For the date palms, its fertile soil year after year produced bumper crops. Ur of the Chaldees also had a lucrative wool industry. There was much money there. It was flowing like the waters in the Euphrates River. And Abraham was very comfortable with it all. But God began to stir his heart. And God told him, Abraham, leave your country. Leave your country. I'd like to apply that. I may be speaking to some here, especially young. And you too have discovered God's salvation. You too know Christ as Savior. But maybe you have become a little comfortable in your present condition. And maybe you're a young man and you know that there was a day and you used to get up early in the morning before you went to school and you read your Bible and you prayed. But you can't hardly remember the last time you did that, at least in a consecutive basis. As Abraham was stirred, and as Abraham had to separate himself from that which was comfortable and convenient, would God stir a heart here today? And I know it's a whole lot more comfortable to lay in that bed, especially when it's cold in the morning. You know, you have all you have before you is school and work. But would God stir a heart today to say, listen, I'm going to make a decision. And I'm going to separate myself unto God, and I'm going to give myself to the Word of God. May I look at it another way? Maybe there's those of us, and we have read the Bible many times, and we have pondered its pages, and we read it, and we pray. But there's very little spiritual growth. There's not the study time. There's not the cultivating of the Word of God in our lives and putting it into practice. Could we maybe suggest that maybe God wants us to go beyond just the simple reading of it into the study of it, into the understanding of its words and its meanings? Abraham had to separate himself. He had to make a decision, and he had to leave that which was good and comfortable to the natural eye. And may I suggest to you that this, any time that you are called by God to leave that which is of this world and go out in adventure for God and do something for Him, Satan will do everything in his power to make the world look bright and beautiful. And everything that God asks you to do, Satan will make it look like it's dismal and deserty and dry as can be. Don't think that Abraham didn't go through the same struggle that you and I go through. Not only was he leave his country, but he was to leave his kindred, his people. And you know, the people in that day especially represented the thought of security. It was prosperity for them, and it meant acceptance. And all these things were very, very important to a man like Abraham, as they are important to you today. Security, acceptance. A sense of prosperity, being able to feel like you're in control and things are going your way. But God was going to take it out of Abraham's hand, and He was going to say, Abraham, you're not in control. I am. You trust me. You leave your kindred. You leave your people. I would suggest that that may be in an applicable and a practical application. The thoughts that have to do with our habits, have to do with that which is so familiar to us, and moving out to the unfamiliar, making adjustments in the areas where we feel comfortable, and yet being able to step out by bold faith and serve God in a way that He may be directing us. Have you ever left anything for God? It might require a change of your habits. And I would say that that's maybe one of the hardest things for us to change. We are creatures of habits. But as one man said, a habit is no more than a grave with both ends kicked out of it. It's just a rut. And it gets us nowhere. Next thing, leave your father's house. I believe this was the most difficult of all. Because we find that when he finally did leave Ur of the Chaldees and he packed up, he went along and he went all as far as Aaron. And then when he got there, it says that he dwelt in Aaron. He was settling down there. But God didn't tell him to go to Aaron. God says, go to Canaan, the land that I'm telling you of. But why did he only go so far and no more? Because his father was in control. It was his father that was leading him now. He still hadn't given his life totally over to God. He still hadn't learned what it was to separate from his father's house. And he was still leaning harder on his father's control and his father's influence than he was on God's. And you remember that as Abraham dwelt there in Aaron, the Bible never says that God called Abram out of Aaron. It says that he called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. I would suggest to you from that his time in Aaron was wasted time. As we say, spinning his wheels, no progress. Have we ever been in plateaus in our lives? When maybe we first started off and our banners were flying and we were really going forth and going for God and giving it all we had. But we got tired. We got waylaid. We got distracted. The world meant more to us. The job became more important. And we lost our steam, we lost our energy for God. Abram went halfway until Terah died. Would that not speak to us of the old man? I'm using that in biblical sense, not in a disrespectful way. His father passed away. And how that would remind us how that all of us must always remember that Adamic nature that we had in Adam when we were saved and we realized that Christ died for us. Died. It's done away with. You could never get into heaven with any of it alive. It died. But God says, now you live in the newness of the renewed life that you have in Christ Jesus. You live in the good of that life. And so, Abram, when his father passed away and Terah died, he was ready to leave, and away he went. That's what you have in verse 4. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. What was that departure like? If it was difficult to leave Ur of the Chaldees, how much more to leave Aaron? You see, the road from Ur of the Chaldees to Aaron was just more like a superhighway, as we would say. It was just a very easy path. They would go right down along the river there, and there was pasture on every hand, and they had things in abundance. My, they could go there without too many difficulties. But when they got there and they lifted their eyes out across the borders of Aaron, out across that arid desert, all they saw was dryness and barrenness. A large, large wasteland. But that's where God was going to lead them. And can you imagine what it must have been that day when they departed? And I like to depict it to you maybe in your mind's eye for a moment. As those camels were laden with all the goodies for the trip. And as the people were gathering around and there were the goodbyes in the Egypt or in the eastern countries. Whenever they said goodbye, it was a time of great sorrow and great mourning. It was like as if someone was dying in their midst as Abram made his way out across that desert. And no doubt there would have been those that were telling Abram, I don't think this is a good decision for you. Abram, I think that you better rethink this and come back and stay here where it's safe and where it's comfortable. You're well received here, Abram. But Abram said, no, the Lord of glory appeared unto me and I must go. I must separate myself from these convenient surroundings and follow him. That was a decision that Abram had to make. And it was no easier for him than it is for our teenagers today. It was no easier for him than it is for the middle age or the older, or elderly brother. A decision to say no to the world and yes to God. You see, separation is leaving behind that which you enjoy of this life and entering into that which would be God's provision for you in spiritual living. It's not just out in a limbo. It's leaving the world and moving into what God would have you enjoy from Himself. But notice, as we think of his discouragement, or I was mentioning that in earlier, I'm watching the clock more than my notes here, the idea of how that the discouragement was slothfulness and how that he stayed there in earlier. I'm just going to go next to devotion. In his devotion, Abram came to the promised land. He came to Canaan. And as he entered into the land, because it says in verse 5, into the land of Canaan, they came. And what happened there? Verse 7, the Lord appeared unto Abram. Don't read that too fast. Let that grip your soul. The Lord appeared unto Abram. You see, Abram, up to this point, had been a worship of idols, a worshiper of idols. He only knew what it was to fall before these wooden and images. Images that could not move, images that could not be in different places, two places at the same time. But now, all of a sudden, the same God that appeared to him in Ur of the Chaldees, some maybe 800 miles away, now reappears to him again there in the land of Canaan. And how important that is. What an encouragement, what a stimulus it was to the heart and the mind of that man, Abram. Because all the time he was there in Aaron, he had no appearance from God. And life was difficult because God wasn't with him. Now God is there. God makes His presence known. And what does Abram do? He builds an altar unto the Lord. You see, when he saw God again and God appeared unto him, that stirred a tremendous devotion in his heart. It led him to serve God. It led him to build an altar right there in the land of Canaan. Now, what was in the land of Canaan? You remember, there were the giants that were there. Those tremendous people in height and in stature and their strength. And as Abram was there, no doubt he felt like those 10 spies that day that went to spy out the land of Canaan. And as they came back and the report was, yes, it's a land of great fruitfulness, but there's giants in the land, and we're only grasshoppers in their sight. We're nothing. We have no hope to ever conquer that such a place. And there Abram was, and these mighty giants, as they came alongside of him, and they looked down upon his little family there. Oh, how intimidating it must have been. But Abram had the appearance of the Lord God before him. And the Lord God was living in his heart. The joy of it was thrilling him. And right there in the midst of all those giants, he built an altar unto the Lord. A testimony. You know, there was nobody there to stand at the border of Canaan and check out his passport and his papers and making sure everything was in order and then going up to the people, those giants, and say, listen, this man here, Abram, he just came from Ur of the Chaldees and he's going to live in our presence now and he's a messenger from the God of heaven and we want you to accept him. We want you to make him feel comfortable and at home. Nobody was there to stamp his passport. He just went in. Without an introduction, without a lot of fanfare, he just told those people right there in the middle of that country, he says, I belong to God. If you want to worship your idols, go right ahead. But I belong to the living God of heaven. Have you ever lifted up an altar in this world, on your campus, in your office, in your neighborhood? Do the people that you associate with day in and day out know what you believe and whom you believe? Do they know that you're a God-fearing man or a God-fearing woman? Oh, that we might have the God of glory appear unto us. You know what stimulated those disciples after they saw the Lord hanging on that cross and His body laid in the tomb? It was when He reappeared unto them. And when they saw Him in that resurrected body, there was nothing that could hold them back. Is that not Paul's prayer in Philippians in chapter 3? That I might know Him in the power of His resurrection. And as we hunger and thirst after that God, our God, it'll be easier to build our altars in a world that is hateful and hurtful. I tell you, I believe there's another reason why Abram built his altar. As a means of protection. He could always go back to the fact that he became a testimony to those people. And he had to bear that testimony every day that he lived in Canaan. Because others were going to watch him. They know to whom he belonged. But I think there was even yet another reason. He just felt the need of it. He felt the need of having an altar there in Canaan to maintain that fellowship with his God.